ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ॐ श्रीमन्महागणाधिपतये नमः Let us chant these verses because they're meant for morning meditation actually. This verse.
Pratasmarami Pratasmarami Hridi samspuradatma tattvam Hridi samspuradatma tattvam Satchit sukham Satchit sukham Paramaham sagatim turiyam Paramaham sagatim turiyam Yat svapna jagara sushupti maveti nityam Tad brahma nishkalamaham naja bhota sangaha
Yad brahma svapna jagara sushuptim nityam avaiti tad nishkalam brahma aham asmi aham bhuta sangaha na aham prataha hridi hridi samspurad atma tattvam sachit sukham paramahamsa gatim turiyam hridi samspurad atma tattvam prataha smarami aham sachit sukham paramahamsa gatim turiyam hridi samspurad atma tattvam prataha smarami This is the order. Okay, we'll go to the next verse now.
Pratar bhajami manasam vachasam agamyam vacho vibhanti nikhilayadanugraheṇa yanneti neti vachaneir nigamavochan tam deva devamajamachyutamahuragryam
Prataha bhajami. I know. Bhajami, the root bhaj has many meanings. One is to attain. To sing in praise, to worship, and also to know. It's a very important meaning. To know. Bhajami means I know. Understand. When I say I know, I understand, it means, it implies, I dwell upon, I contemplate on, I meditate on. It implies.
Yeah.
And then Prataha Bhajami. Kim Bhajami? Understood, Brahma Vastu Bhajami. I dwell upon, I contemplate on. The Param Brahma Vastu, the truth of the universe. It is implied. What is it which is the truth of the universe? Manasam vachasam agamyam. See, gamyaha, reachable, accessible, attainable, obtainable is gamyaha. Okay, gamyam, otherwise, new to gender word, gamyam, masculine gamya, gamyaha, feminine gamya. But agamyaha, not reachable means what? Not accessible means. Manasam agamyam, that means the words cannot go there. Mind cannot go there. See, if something which mind cannot go, words cannot go, they cannot reach there means, what does it mean? It means it is not an object of thought. It is not an object of perception, sense perception or thought perception. See, the Brahma Vastu which I dwell upon is not an object of thought, not an object of sense perception or object of thought perception. It is imperceptible. So, a word can reach. That means what? A word can indicate. An object being indicated by a word is said to be vachasa gamyam vastu. An object which is, which is available for sense perception is said to be the manasaha gamyam vastu. What is it which cannot be an object which is not within the realm of time and space, an object which is time-wise limitless, spatially limitless, and which is imperceptible in terms of thought or senses? And such an object cannot be indicated by a word, nor can it be an object of mind. So it's manasaha vachasaha agamyam vastu. Manasa agamyaha. But then we can say, why it is imperceptible? Because it is the very existence of the mind, source of the words, origin of the words. Brahma vastu happens to be, the Brahma vastu happens to be the existence of the mind. It is the existence of every thought, which all the thought which constitute the mind. And word happens to be the expression of the thought. Therefore, Brahma Vastu is the origin of the very source of the mind, source of the mind, which is the source of the word. Therefore, it is not an object. It is not objectifiable. We have to say this way. Why Brahma Vastu is not objectifiable? It is not objectified. Not an object. An object which can be indicated by a word is an object. Anything which can be indicated by a word is an object. But here it is not an object at all. Why is it an object? It is the very origin, the source or existence of the mind or all the thoughts, which are the origin of the word, which are the source of the thoughts, the mean words. The words are not objectifiable. And what is perceptible again? Anything which is subject to time and space alone is perceptible. This is the other reason. Therefore, Brahma Vastu happens to be free from, happens to be not subject to time and space. It's not objectifiable, not objectified. And because it's not an object of second thing, it is the very source of the mind, origin of the mind, and it is not, therefore it is not available for thought perception. It happens to be the origin of the mind or the thoughts, and which is the source of the, which is the source of the words. Also, it's not available for any perception, therefore it is not reachable. Words cannot indicate how it is. Words cannot describe how Brahman is. Okay? Words cannot describe how Brahman is. And has a doubt. No, what about Shabda Pramanam, Swamini? We say Shabda is the Pramanam. And now you say words cannot describe. Is it out? No.
Wasn't that one?
But that again, that's why Varsha the Shastram, you know, what are the Shastram? They reflect. When they're unfolded, handled properly, then they reflect the Swarupma of the Atma. Directly, doesn't directly reveal an object. Like tumbler, this is a tumbler.
Okay.
Even if you don't see, I don't even say, don't show this is a tumbler, it's a tumbler, a flower. Suddenly the word brings an object indicated by that word to your mind.
Yeah.
Immediately the mind reaches that object. That's why a word is called a padam. You know, a word is called a padam.
Yeah.
Why? Because padyate anena iti padam. Any object is reached in terms of understanding by a word. That's what's called padam.
Right?
Mm.
No, I just
the root pad is very interesting root, you know.
Yes.
Padaha, feet is called. Any foot is called, you know. Suppose foot is padaha.
Yeah.
Pado. Padaha, pado, padaha. Okay. Padaha. And padam. For both meaning is that by which something is reached. You have to walk towards it is. And in terms of mind also, any word I say, immediately the object, the word, you know, your mind is linked to the object indicated by the word. Manaha gachati towards that object. Then it is, it's a padam. So, vachasa agamiya, because manaha also cannot go there. No word can indicate, describe how Brahman is. No one word can directly indicate, like flower, chair, light, curtain, wall, road, bus, car. Any word can indicate an object. Immediately it takes you to an object. A word immediately links, connects your mind, makes your mind reach that word, indicated by a word, object. Whereas here, Brahman. Even if we say the word Brahman or Atma, what is the word which can directly take you to the substance? No. So, vachasa agamyaha. Okay, agamyam. Manasa agamyam. And aham. Seeing the meaning, seeing how Brahman is not an object of thought, perception or sense perception is what? Dwelling upon Brahman being manasa agamyam, vachasa agamyam is meditation. In fact, this is... Okay.
This is a very interesting point because many religions, they try to visualize something which is not visualizable. Try to conceptualize that. There's a problem. So some idea of some Lord sitting in some place with some form.
That's the problem. There's no thinking. See, we are talking about the truth of the whole universe. That means, what about the mind also is what? Part of the truth, part of the whole universe. See, the problem is people always forget the mind being part of the manifestation.
Yeah.
Part of the whole. And it is the mind through which anything you know in the world. And only because mind is an instrument for knowing. Ultimately. And it is only through that mind you have to know the truth of the mind also. What is the origin and the source of the mind? That is why it is not agamyam. Manasa na agamyam. Manasi eva jnatavyaha atma, but na manasa jnatavyaha. There is bhedaha, no? It's the statement. There is difference. Manasi eva jnatavyaha atma. Atma vastu manasi eva jnatavyam parantu, but not manasa. The self, the truth of the whole has to be known in the mind, but not by the mind. Not in the mind when I say what? Manasi means as the very existence of the manaha. Samudre eva, tarange eva, tarangeshi eva, jalaha drashtavyam, jalam drashtavyam. You can't see, no, I can see the jalam here, wave here. No. yatra karyam drishyate tatraiva karanamapi drishtavyam. Wherever you see the effect, that itself inseparably you have to see the cause. Because cause is the existence of the effect. Similarly here, and we say the whole jagat is in fact karya. But the problem is, mind is the one which has to penetrate and know everything. So mind, it also being part of the manifestation, the universe, mind happens to be the subtle, thing. So the Shastram reveals to say, come on, the truth of the whole jagat, hridi spurati, manasi spurati. I know that as the very truth of the mind, it's enough. That's what even knowing the truth with the mind knows where it exists. It's as good as understanding where the whole jagat exists. That's the secret. That is why here manasa na gyatavyam. But when I say manasa na gyatavyam, na gyayate, manasa na gamyate, manasa agamyam na gamyate, not rich, na gyayate. Manasa agamyam means what? Manasa na gamyate. It means manasa na gyayate. It is not known by the mind. Known through the mind, but it is can be known in the mind. Not in the mind means, but as the truth of the mind. That is why it is said, manasa na gamyam. Is it clear?
Yeah, you say it has to be known in the mind, but not by the mind.
Now, known in the mind means what?
I don't know.
Now, known, see, when you say manasa, not known by the mind or known through the mind means, it is not something to be known as an object of knowledge, but as the very subject, very source of, or the origin of knowledge.
In a way, the water is known as the source and origin of the wave.
Yeah. It's clear to say what to say.
But not
see, and yeah. Suppose when you say, aham pushpam janami. For example, I give you, aham pushpam janami. I know the flower.
Yeah.
Then what happens, when you say, aham janami, aham, you know, as a knower,
yeah,
and the act of knowing, and the pushpam is an object which is external to the mind. External to the mind. External to the senses also, no. So it's available for sense perception. Through sense perception, it's available for thought perception. I can understand. So I say, mama shiro vedana, mam shiro vedana badhate. I have mama shiro vedana asti. Oh, I have headache. When I say you can see the head actually, but not headache. But you can understand still, headache is available, not available for sense perception. Head, shiraha is available for his sense perception. But shiro vedana is available only for thought perception. You can understand what is headache. It's still available. It is not available for gross perception, but still available for understanding. Okay, manasa gamyam. So what we say, anything which is an object of knowledge is said to be manasa gamyam. When the Brahma Vastu happens to be the very origin, very source,
yeah,
very existence, very subject of thought, subject of knowledge, it is available for, we say, when you say manasa na gamyam. Because Brahma Vastu, see, I'll tell again, Brahma Vastu happens to be the subject, not an object, okay? The source, the origin of knowledge. I say manasa na gamyam. But manasi gamyam.
The difference between knowledge and understanding, isn't there?
Pardon?
Isn't there a difference between knowledge and understanding?
No, they're just two different states of mind. Manasi gamyam is available in the mind for recognition when we say, as the source of the mind, That is why I can say manasi jnayate. When you say manasana jnayate, it's not known through the mind, by the mind. Why? Because it is not an object. Understand? Manasi, manasa. Understand?
If it's not known then by the mind.
Through the mind, I said. Through or by. Just use different words.
If it's not known by the mind, it must be known by itself. Because it's known as seated in the mind.
It is recognized. It is recognized. It is when it's understood, because whatever is understood, the knowledge rises as a thought. That's also mind. But that the thought resolves at last. Anyway, so here, manasam vachasam agamyam. Yat anugrahena nikhilaha vachaha vibhanti. See, bhati, bhanti. Bhati shines, bhanti shine, plural verb. Okay, deepaha bhati. Bahuni vastuni atra bhanti. But vibhanti, vividhani vastuni vividham bhanti. Many objects shine. Okay, but here vachaha vibhanti, many varieties of words, okay, indicating varieties of objects shine. I mean, very words themselves exist. When you say object shines, means what? Words themselves come into being. Words themselves exist. Vachaha vibhanti. Okay? Yada anugrahena. Yasya brahmanaha brahma vasturaha anugrahena. By the grace of whom? By the grace of whom? But these many words indicate varieties of objects themselves shine. Shine. That means what? If the vastu, Brahma vastu is not there, no word can shine, no word can exist. The word becomes meaningless. Because why? See, but for the grace of consciousness, mind cannot shine. You, of course, but now I say, because of the grace of the light, all the opaque objects shine. All the opaque objects shine because of the blessings and the grace of this light. That means they are very much dependent. When you are dependent, use the word grace. Okay? Grace.
Which is the word for grace?
Anugraha.
What does it really mean?
Anugraha.
Anugraha means grace, blessing. See, the root is grih dhatuhu there. Grinnati holds. Anugrinnati continuously holds. It means, you know, blesses. Anugrinnati means blesses. Guruhu sishyam anugrinnati. Guru blesses. Anugraha is the noun, blessing, grace. When I say anugrahena, yasya anugrahena, yad anugrahena, yasya paravastunaha anugrahena, nikhilaha vachaha vibhanti. All the words shine, indicating, why vibhanti? Because all the words do not indicate only one object, you see. All the words indicate varieties of objects, and all of them shine, all of them have a being, existence, because of the grace of whom? Okay, that Brahma Vastu is Manasamagamyam, Vachasamagamyam, and I dwell upon that Brahma Vastu. Yasya paravastunaha anugrahena nikhilaha vachaha vibhanti yad brahma vastu manasam vachasam agamyam tad brahma vastu aham prataha bhajami. This is the pearl hurdle.
What's vastu?
Vastu means substance, the absolute substance, which is absolute reality or truth. Okay, why I say this, suppose the vacha vibhanti, no? Suppose prakashasya anugrahena sarvani vastuni vibhanti. I say. Similarly here, by the grace of consciousness alone mind shines. By the grace of the mind alone, senses shine. Words shine. Because words are nothing but expression of the thoughts. Anything you utter is what? When a sound emerges, a word emerges, comes out of your mind, mouth, that's what? Spuranam. It is an expression of the thought. What we communicate, convey, say, utter is an expression of thought. And what is thought? What is the origin of the thought? I thought is consciousness. Therefore, consciousness alone, understand, surfaces thought. Thought alone, okay, expresses as word. Word being an expression of the thought for which the source happens to be consciousness. We say, because of the grace of consciousness, mind shines. Because of the grace of consciousness, all the thoughts shine. Every thought shines. Because of the grace of the mind, words shine. There are mulataha. Because the grace of consciousness alone, all the words shine. Understand? Second thing, this one meaning, another meaning is, all the words object indicate what? Varieties of objects. And all those objects have their being in what? In knowledge. Only when they are known. And not for outside of consciousness. Therefore, yasya anugrahena, okay, by the grace of which consciousness, Brahma Vastu, all the words shine, and that Brahma Vastu, words themselves are dependent on thought, which have their being in consciousness, and such Vastu definitely is not indicatable by through the word. Then he says, "Yan neti neti vachanehi nigamaha avochan avocham stam." The sandhi there, we can say avochan tam. Avocham stam is right, correct. Yeah, but when you say avochan,
yeah,
avochan, no. So nigamaha avochan. Nigamaha means what? All the Vedas. All the Vedas. Nigamaha means Vedaha. Yeah. Other word for Vedaha is Nigamaha. Nigamaha Vedaha avochan had declared. Okay? Or revealed. Avochan means has said. Vedas has said. Vedas have revealed. Avochan means said, revealed, declared. Okay? Vedaha avochan. Vedas have said. What they have declared? How they revealed. Avochan also means revealed. Vedas have revealed the self. Words of the Vedas alone reveal Brahman. How do they reveal? Do they reveal directly? Come on, Tumblr. They reveal directly, not directly. By saying what Brahma Vastu is not, Vedas reveal what Brahma Vastu is. So, this is very interesting. So, first he said, Vachasam Agamyam. Okay? And Yasya Anagrahena Vachaha Vibhanti. See, by the grace of consciousness around words shine, a consciousness is not reachable, okay, not understood, can't be understood as an object of word or mind or thought, but it is revealed, Vedas reveal Now, words of the Vedas alone reveal the Brahman, reveal that Vastu.
That's strange.
Nigamaha avachan means Vedas revealed. Words of the Vedas revealed. How tell you, not directly. Because we can say the verse contradicts. First you say it's not vacha, vachasam agamyam. Then you say vedahani avachan, nigamaha avachan. That means, how did they reveal? Means very clear, not directly. Na, na, iti vachanehi. Na, iti, na, iti vachanehi. But neti, neti vachanehi is what? It implies the negation. So the words of the Vedas, okay, shabda pramanam, by negating what the Atma or Brahma Vastu is not, by saying what it is not, they help us arrive at, understand what the Atma is. But say Shastra, Tikala Abadhitam Satyam. First it says, now what is, I tell you what it is. It says, no, Trikala Abadhitam is Satyam. Trikala Abadhitam is not Satyam. Affected, subjective. Okay, that is not subjective, past, present and future. So then we can just say all the objects which are perceived, which are known here, no, are all Trikala Abadhitam. Therefore they are not Satyam. Which is not objective, trikalam, past, present and future. Everything and anything in the world is subject to past, present and future. That is subject to time. Trikala Badhitam. Bound by time. Whereas here, this vastu is trikala abadhitam. Therefore, anything that is seen or known or perceived is not Atma. Therefore, this is not. So first it negates what it is not. That's what na, 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 idamna, idamna, tadana, 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 kim. Everything is trikala abadhitam. Tribihi kalahi baditam. It means everything subject to time, everything subject to everything and anything which is subject to time, bound by time, past, present and future is not that. Okay? Then abaditam. Therefore, it says, Nigamaha avochan, words of the Vedas alone reveal the Atma Vastu, by negating, by saying what it is not. Okay? How do the words of the Veda help you arrive and understand what consciousness is? Neti neti vachanehi. Neti neti vachanehi means what? By saying what the Atma is not. It's just say, come on, this is what the Atma. It just will take you inside. This is not the Atma, 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 this is nothing is here is Atma, then this is not the Atma, then this is not. Now, it takes it to the mind. It says, Manaha also is not the Atma. Atma is not the mind. Okay? Atma is not the mind, but the mind is Atma. Okay? Everything is Atma. Atma is not everything. Yeah, that's neti neti vachane. Atma idam nanva. I should say this is not the Atma. Atma is not this. Atma is not this. Atma is not this. They takes it, no? Till the aham asmi iti jnanam. So by saying what it is not, by revealing what it is not, words of the Shastram reveal what it is. Then tam deva devam ajam achyutam ahuhu agriyam. So he says, because Hatkatam neti neti vachanehi, how by negating what is not, how the word of the Shastam reveal what it is. Am I very fast?
Yes.
Am I very fast? Yes. Okay. Deva Devam is about Deva. Esther told about Deva Devaha. I told you Devaha means effulgent.
Yeah.
And you know, anything which illumines is Devaha. The self-luminous thing, okay, which reveals its existence by itself and which brings to light other objects around, is called Deepaha, Jyotihi, Prakashaha, light, luminous body. Now, you say, called Devaha. That which now shines by itself, that which brings to light other objects around, is Devaha. That way, all the five senses are Devaha, because every sense organ, with reference to a given object, is a Devaha. Because they all illumine different objects.
But is a word a Deva?
Huh?
A word? Is that a Deva?
Yeah.
A word.
A word of Devaha, yeah, I can say that.
It brings things to life.
Yeah. Anything which illumines is wonderful, Anne. See, Prakashate Buddhi. Jnana Spruti. Anything illumines is it's Devaha. So light is Devaha, understand? So your five senses are Devaha. Then Manaha Devaha. So to differentiate, what is Devaha, Lord of the Lords? No? Light of the lights. That is light of the lights. Then mind is the light of the lights. What is the light of the light which now light? What is the great light which lights up the light which lights up all of the lights? Devaha, Devanam Devaha, Mahadevaha. I had to say. So here Deva Devaha, that means the light which lights up all of the lights. Therefore, it is the self-effulgent, self-revealing, consciousness which lights up the mind, through the mind, lights up the senses, and lighting up the mind and through the senses, which lights up the whole jagat, is the Deva Devaha. Is it okay?
The last thing you said, the whole jagat is the Deva and
the Deva? No.
Lights up.
See, the consciousness which lights up the mind, which brings to light mind, by lighting up the mind, okay, which lights up the senses through the mind. And the same consciousness which lighting up the mind, through the mind lighting up the senses, and through the senses which lights up the whole jagat, is the Deva Devaha, I said. Deva Devaha. Then Ajaha, and that consciousness, of course, is not Jayate Iti Ajaha, is not born. Na Jayate Iti Ajaha, you know, very simple word anyway. Ajaha. We say Atma is Ajaha, Brahman is Ajam. Okay, that's a new to gender word. Ajaha. Or Ajam, no problem. Ajaha also means goat, so we should mistake the word again. Ajaha he na jayate. Na jayate means why it is not jayate? Why? Because it is trikala abhaditam satyam. It is not subject to time, past, present and future. It is not subject to time limitation. Anything which is subject to time limitation is said to have beginning. Because it is not subject to time limitation, it is such as no beginning. Because there is no beginning, it is Ajaha. It is unborn, causeless, uncaused cause. Okay? Unborn, therefore it is. Why? Because it is unborn? Because it is causeless. If it has a cause, then we have to say it is caused. When anything is caused, is what? Anything cause means effect, and effect means it has beginning. Beginning means it's subject to time. Jatam, not ajam. Therefore, ajaha, because it's uncaused, uncaused, causeless cause. It is not object to time, therefore it is beginningless, therefore it is birthless. It is always there, it's eternal. Ajaha and Agriyaha, therefore it's what? No, because the cause also, because it is beginningless, because it is not born, so it is what? No, causeless, uncaused. And it is the cause of everything. Because it happens to be the cause of everything, it's Agriyaha. Agriyati iti Agriyaha, the foremost of all the beings. The foremost of everything is there. Agriyaha is the last word, Agriyam. Okay? Agriya means that which is the foremost. Foremost means foremost cause of the whole, everything. Because when you say it is unborn, beginningless, it is the foremost. Agriyam. Okay? Then, and also, Achyutaha. Because it is the foremost of everything, it happens, it is the cause of everything. And everything that is there happens to be the effect, and it cannot be missed in anything that is here. Achyutaha. Na chutam. I told you that answer, no? Chutam means that which slipped. That which cannot be slipped is achyutam.
Slipped?
Yeah, slipping away. That which cannot be missed.
Oh.
If you see the wave, oh, I see only the wave. I don't see the water. If you say, you miss the water. But every time you see the wave, what cannot be missed in the wave, in perception of the wave, is what? In every perception, the perception of every time you perceive the wave, what cannot be missed is what? The water. What you see as the wave is nothing but the water. Therefore, water is the achyutam with reference to a wave. Similarly, in a perception of any object, a perception of any object is what? Knowledge. Perception of any object in the world is what? Knowledge, isn't it? So, every time any object you see, the object is known.
Is that the same as consciousness? Knowledge is the same as consciousness?
No, that's the thought I'm saying. But when you say, any object is, it is what? It is known. Known means what? There's knowledge of that given object. And where is the knowledge? Knowledge is a thought. Understand? Knowledge is not outside of consciousness. So what cannot be missed in any knowledge is what? In every experience, what cannot be missed is what? Consciousness. Achyutam. Is it okay?
So how come we
do
miss it?
How come we do miss it, yeah. We do miss it then, don't we?
Because you don't see it, that's all. We miss it because you don't see it. You have to keep on seeing it. Oh, it is just we have to dwell on it. So that's what this class is for, dwelling on. To help us not to miss it, only we are seeing it. How it is not can be missed has to be seen. Then we won't miss it. It's interesting, isn't it? Achyuta.
Yeah, because
see, and anything when you say it is, there is knowledge of, when you say rose is, knowledge of rose is. There is knowledge of rose. When you say light is, there is knowledge of light. When you say chair is, there is knowledge of chair. Understand? Similarly, when I said rose is, rose knowledge is, rose consciousness is. Chair is, chair knowledge is, chair consciousness is. Light is, light knowledge is, light consciousness is. Objects vary, but what is invariably present out of them is what? Knowledge. And what is invariably present in every bit of knowledge is what? Consciousness. Achyutam. The consciousness that is which is invariably present in all the variable thoughts, bits of knowledge. Is achyuta. That's why every knowledge is what? Experience. Every experience is what? Consciousness. Consciousness has to be experienced. This way, you can't experience consciousness as an object of. Every experience being consciousness can be understood. Consciousness cannot be experienced. Every experience being consciousness can be, has to be understood. Therefore, but the consciousness cannot be experienced. See, chuti, the word is a very interesting word, achyuta, you know. Well, achyutam keshavam ramana rayana, we sing bhajans, no?
What does it normally mean, achyuta?
Huh?
Its normal meaning is what?
Pardon?
What's the normal meaning of achyuta?
It is right. Achyuta means that which can, that which can, that which does not slip away, that which can be missed. See, chutihi, I tell you what, the word now, the chudatuhu, chavati is a verb, something comes, okay? Chutihi is a noun. Chutihi means slipping. Slips away. I miss it. He said no. Oh, I missed it. I can say, achutamaya. A coffee chutamaya. I miss, suppose I miss it. No, I miss something. And I can say, chutam. I missed it. Na chutam. What cannot be missed here? Dismissible, okay. Which can be missed actually.
Unmissed.
Which can be
Not
dismissed. No. It's achyutam. So see the words how he starts now. Ajaha, achyutaha, agriyaha. Ajaha, because it is tikala abhaditam, object to time. Therefore, it has no beginning. Because it has no beginning, it is the foremost. Therefore, it is the foremost because this is the cause of everything. Because it is the cause of everything, it cannot be missed in everything which is an effect. Achyutaha. Look at the order. How he brings one of the other. So, tad ah brahma avastaham pajami, I meditate upon. There is a... Is it clear?
Can I ask that?
Yeah. Please say it.
No, it's just that we've been told that the self is knowledge, consciousness and bliss. What you seem to be saying, which makes sense, is that really it's only knowledge, it's not knowledge, consciousness and bliss. It's just knowledge, the self, the consciousness.
No, self is knowledge, self is consciousness, self is limitlessness. You're right. See, they said the words, defining words, but they haven't unfolded.
No.
What is a self again? Self is a substantive and the substance is consciousness. See, Atma is another word. Brahman is another word. Defining words.
Substantive.
Yeah, substantives, like any other word. But what is the substance?
Substantive.
That is the problem here.
Yeah.
That is why na iti vachanehi. No, it's not like any other substance. You know, any other object indicated by a word. And what is this, which is the substance? The substance is that which alone has substantiality. Okay. So, what is that word? Okay, what is it indicated by the word Brahman? What is which is implied, revealed by the word Atma? So these three words, no, by defining words, Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma.
Yeah.
So we say Satyam, existence, Jnanam, knowledge, and awareness or consciousness. They use the three words, Jnapa, Jnanam. Mm. And Anantam, we use bliss. We don't want to use the word bliss. We say limitlessness or happiness. Even happiness has to be understood, clearly made to it, has to be unfolded, explained. What do we mean by happiness? Bliss is a good problem.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, it's not this small eating, it's getting cold.
See, for bliss, you know, take one dose or have one pig, you have bliss.
Oh, I see.
First, type one bliss.
One pill.
Any certain food give you bliss for some time. You have to just give up ahankara for some time. You have to forget yourself. Then what you have is bliss. In total ignorance, there is bliss. When you don't know you are, then the whole jagat is not there. The whole jagat is not there, nothing to worry. The jagat is there, it boils. It reminds you of all the problems, your limitations. The jagat is there, you are reminded of all your limitations, the comparisons. Then if a neighbor is there, son is there, daughter is there, people are there, friends are there, relatives are there, okay, and it bothers, it affects. Then you are reminded of your limitations, how small I am, how ignorant I am, how insignificant I am, you are reminded. Then I say, so, dukkham. And what is bliss? That don't have the world. How to get rid of the world? You can undo the world. Just you disappear. How to disappear? Forget yourself. How to forget myself? Be given some sedative. Say, take some mini liquor or something. Anything.
Go to sleep.
No, go to fall asleep. Or take, no, just forget it. That's why the drunkards, they don't remember where they are. If you're just forgetting it, because it's a pressure.
Yeah.
That's why people who are given, once they're given to anything which makes you, helps you forget yourself. Why these drugs are very famous here? Drugs. Why all this brochure, etc., etc., people, why people go for drugs? Because it puts you off.
Yeah.
It is a way of escapism, you see. And what people go for, in spite of knowing it's not good.
Yeah, I was going to say anything.
What people go for? Because that's what is bliss. Okay, total ignorance. There is no sukham dukkham. That's bliss. But in total knowledge, there's no sukham dukkham. Okay? There's no pain and pleasure. That is happiness. And happiness is being happy. Being happy is being limitless. And being limitless is what timeless, space of limitless. It is not something to be achieved. It is the nature of the reality, the truth, the consciousness. You have to be understood how consciousness is beginningless, how it is limitless in terms of space and object-wise, time-wise. You have to be understood. It's very simple. This is the basic thing actually. Consciousness is free from this time, space, object limitations. No? Because it is source of knowledge. And everything is, including time and space, are what? Objects of knowledge. See, leave alone all everything else which exists within the realm of time and space. Just take only time and space. Time, okay? The whole jagat exists within the realm of time and space. Okay? I mean, everything is subject to time and space. and take the time and space. Time is object of knowledge, space is object of knowledge, enough. Just to fill that. Time is object of knowledge, space is object of knowledge. When you say object of knowledge, it is not outside of knowledge. When you say it is pervaded by knowledge, okay? When you say knowledge, and where is knowledge? And what is source of knowledge? And knowledge is nothing but thought which rises in consciousness. Okay? For consciousness, which is the origin of knowledge, okay, is free from time space limitations. Why? Because time and space are also objects of knowledge. Is it clear? It's a very important thing.
Yeah, but you say it's not outside.
That's what being limitless is what? Being happy. Therefore, happiness is equal to limitlessness. Mm-hmm. Then we have to say limitlessness, not bliss. We can't really establish it, make it very clear. Bliss means what? Okay, I can say bliss also is happiness. Then I can think, you have to say limitless. You have to explain what is limitlessness. Mm-hmm. Without explaining, understanding what is being limitless, there's no way of arriving at what is.
I mean, normal understanding is bliss is limitless happiness or independence.
Yeah, limitless happiness again. What is limitless happiness? And then there's that. This is the way we have to arrive at.
Mm-hmm.
This is not my way. This is Sampradaya. Shankaracharya explains, yeah. And Ananta Shabdasya, he explains that.
So is limitless happiness also wrong?
No, you can nothing say. You can say limitless, because when you say limitless happiness, you differentiate happiness or limitlessness from the time-bound pleasure. Mm. Nothing wrong. So you can say limitless happiness, because sometimes, pleasure is mistaken for happiness. We use the word, I'm happy, and I'm very happy. That means I'm pleased, actually.
Mm.
We use the expression, I'm happy. The word happy is used.
Yeah.
To mean I'm pleased. Okay? The pleasure is mistaken for happiness, sometimes. Mm. Not mistaken. In colloquial, we use the word.
Mm.
That way, okay? In fact, pleasure is happiness, but happiness is not happiness is not pleasure. Pleasure is happiness. Fraction of happiness is pleasure. Fraction of fullness is pleasure. But that's what I'm saying. Pleasure is happiness, but happiness is not pleasure. And so the wave is ocean, but the ocean is not the wave. Isn't it? Huh?
Do you perhaps so, I don't get that way.
Huh? Pardon?
I haven't. It hasn't really dropped. But one is if one is one.
A is B, but B is not A.
I haven't got that.
Then what I'm saying, Anne? Every wave is ocean. Wave is part of the ocean, isn't it?
It's part of the ocean.
Every wave is ocean. But ocean is not the wave.
Not nearly.
Is it ocean stands for the whole? But wave stands for the fragment.
Yeah.
Understand? Mm. Similarly, pleasure is a state of mind.
Yeah.
Okay? The state of mind which arises in consciousness.
Mm.
So, pleasure is consciousness. But consciousness, which is the nature of limitlessness, is not the pleasure.
It is.
See, fraction, no, fraction is not mistaken for the whole. See, any fraction is part of the whole.
Mm.
But the whole is not the fraction. Whole is manifest as every fraction is a different thing, but not the one fraction.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like this is my body. My body is not this.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying here, we have to understand. See, the happiness actually, because you said the word, Atma is the bliss, you used the word bliss. had to interfere because we have gone out of the other topic. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, but still it's good.
Do you want to put heat in here? Is there one
of these
cold
for me? It'll keep you awake if you feel cold. Okay, anyway, have you understood this now?
I think so.
Okay. So, aham. Prataha manasam vachasam agamyam brahmavastu bhajami yasya anugrahena nikilaha vachaha vibhanti. You have to say, actually, it's the proverb is that this way. Yad anugrahena yasya paravastunaha anugrahena nikilaha vachaha vibhanti tat manasam vachasam agamyam paravastu aham prataha bhajami. Yat nigamaha neti neti vachanehi avochan or yam nigamaha neti neti vachanehi avochan tam deva devam ajam achitam agriyam ahuhu. Over. Is it clear? Is it clear? Go next one.
Yeah.
Ahuhu
is they say.
Ahuhu they say. Simply they say means Upanishads say, Rishis say, men who know, men of vision say. And who have seen the truth, they say. Those who know, say. Not those who do not know, say. Those who know alone, say. If anybody says anything other than this, then they do not know. Pratar namami tamasa paramarkavarnam.
Pratarnamami tamasah paramarkavarnam
tamasah paramarkavarnam tamasah paramarkavarnam purnam sanatana padam purnam sanatana padam purushottamakhyam purushottamakhyam yasmin idam jagadaseshamaseshamurtau
yasmin
idam jagadaseshamaseshamurtau rajjambhujangamaiva pratibhasitam vai rajjambhujangamaiva pratibhasitam vai. Okay. Again, Prataha Namami. Namami, I bow to. Okay. Namanam means bending. It is what you were saying. Emotional bending. So, Namami, bending. Namanam, bending. Namami, I bend. So, I bow. And Aham Namami is understood. Aham Namami. Kada Prataha. Prataha. Why Prataha is so important, very important here? Because Prataha is rising of the light after the darkness. No, the whole darkness is lived. Okay, you live in darkness and darkness goes. Light emerges. Light comes. Now, so elimination, dispelling of ignorance is what? Knowledge. Dispelling of ignorance is knowledge. So when you ask for the dispelling of ignorance, okay, and also because when you wake up from sleep, mind is very fresh. It's not tired of understanding subtle abstract things. It's fresh. So prataha, in the morning, it's a nice time to learn, really. It's a proper time to learn Vedanta. Maybe we'll make serious classes. Tamasah ke pratah namami. I bow in the morning. Tamasah param. I arkavarnam namami. See, pratah, what do I bow to? Okay. See, it also, bowing also implies something, my acceptance of myself being non-separate from the whole. My bowing, okay, when you say I bow, I bend, that implies my understanding, born, acceptance of myself being non-separate from the whole, which is the absolute surrender. Understand? Suppose it's very significant in cultural form, bowing at the feet of Guru or feet of Bhagavan. Even if you see all the temples when we go, all the feet, now we all bow. It turns, I bow means what? I bend at the feet. Bow to the feet actually.
Yeah.
And the feet stand for the end of the Jagat. Okay? Actually my head stands for end of the mind. Okay? And the Bhagavan, the feet. When I touch the feet, I am Bhagavan's, Jagat is Bhagavan. The whole Jagat is Bhagavan. Okay? The whole Jagat is Bhagavan. We give Murti, a form. Form of Bhagavan. We have form, okay, which is personification of the Jagat.
Mm.
Or the then the personification of Jagat in the form of Bhagavan, the form, his feet becomes what? Where the feet are, there ends the Jagat. I put my head there, I touched, then I'm non-separate. Okay, that is the idea. Bhagavan, the Murti of Murti, the personification of Jagat, stands for the whole. Bhagavan. And when I put my head there, I touch the feet, which then it expresses, it implies my acceptance of myself being non-separate from Bhagavan, which implies my understanding of myself being non-separate from Bhagavan. Then I'm not there. What's this? Only Bhagavan. What is this? Only Brahman. What is there is only the Paravastu. That is a surrender. That is surrender of the ego. Surrendering the Ahankara. Submitting the Ahankara is what? Resolving the Ahankara. You cannot, people always talk about submission, you know. I submit myself to the Lord. Who doesn't care for you, your submission? But I submit myself to the Lord means I surrender myself to the Lord. I surrender myself to the Lord means I surrender my ahankara to the Lord. I surrender my ahankara to the Lord means I resolve my ahankara. I resolve my ahankara means ahankara being resolved. Ahankara being resolved means what? Ahankara is nothing but the thought, the knowledge that I am, which is also thought which is not outside of consciousness. Understanding. This understanding, you know, makes me what? Feel, oh, everything is Bhagavan. There's no such thing called I am separately sitting. Everything is Bhagavan, everything is Brahman. There's no second vastu. Dvitiyam vastu na vidyate. Okay, that is what is. There's a surrender. Then in that, there's no fear. In resolving ahankara, in the wake of knowledge of the oneness of reality, the second thing being not there, there's no fear. There's no anxiety. There's no want. There's no need. There's no desire. Where all the thoughts are resolved. There's only sukham. There's no dukkham. Okay. So, Prataha Namami. Prataha Namami. So this is the expression for the word Namami, okay? Whatever I said was for Namami. That's why Namami is a very interesting word. Okay, when I say Namami, I'm seeing only Bhagavan. It's an interesting word, no? Namami. Though I say I bow, I bend, it implies I've already offered myself to Bhagavan. Okay, Pratan Namami, I bow to that Lord or the Paramvastu. Because I bow, when you say, you have to use the word Lord here. What is it? Arkavarnaha. Arkavarnam Namami. Whom do I bow to? Okay, Arkavarnaha. Arkaha means Suryaha. Suryaha means sun. And Arkavarnaha, one who is of the complexion of the sun, one who shines like the sun. That means Bhagavan is like the sun or what? Paravastu is like the sun or what? No. As effulgent as the sun or what? It is as self-revealing as the sun. Just as sun reveals itself by itself. Similarly, that which reveals its presence by itself, that which is not dependent on any other light to come to light, which is self-effulgent, is Arkavarnaha. You have to know Arkavarnaha literally means that which shines like sun. Again, we'll be confused. We already have not understood sun himself. And we have to imagine, think of something which shines like, you know, sun. Arkavarnaha, one who is as effulgent as the sun. That means what? One who is self-effulgent. One who is of the nature of knowing. I bow to that Paravastu, Bhagavan, who is absolutely of the nature of knowing, self-revealing. Self-revealing. And who really does not depend upon mind or senses or anything external, object external to the mind and senses to come to light. Who brings everything to light into the mind and senses. And that Paravastu is Arkavarnaha. Is it clear? Arkavarnaha, you have to say so much. A literal meaning will make you, it will be very funny.
So, whose color is a flash is really quite wrong, isn't it?
Not a literal meaning, it's okay, it's a literal meaning. But what does it convey? Does it reveal consciousness there for you? And how can, see, already it is confusion. You sun himself, we do not know. We see the flat. We don't even see the sun properly. And we can't even imagine how sun is. And then how can you think of something which is like the sun? Which shines like sun? You can't, it's not. So Arkavarna is a lakshanam. Just to express how it is. First you can say, as effulgent as the sun. Then you have to say, it's as effulgent as the sun means what? As self-revealing as the sun or any other light. Because no light is dependent on any other light to be brought to light, to come to light. Because light, any light is light. It is known by the term light because it lights up everything. It does not depend upon any other light to come to light. Like any light is self-luminous. Similarly, Surya has self-luminous body because Suprakasha, Swayam Prakasha Surupatvat. Because Prakashaha is its Surupam. And similarly here, the Atmavastu, which is self-revealing, like any other body of light, or like the sun. That means self-revealing means what? The Atma, Parabrahman, Atma does not depend upon the mind or the senses or anything external to the body, mind and senses to come to light. It is not dependent, it is independent of the mind and senses or anything external to the senses to come to light. Why? Because it is of the nature of knowledge. Therefore, not only it is not dependent, it brings everything to light. Everything is dependent on that. So that which brings everything to light, that which is everything, you know, everything depends upon to come to light, and that which does not depend upon anything else to come to light, that which is self-revealing, that is called self-revealing, and therefore the self-effulgent and self-existent adds to the nature of knowing. That consciousness I bow to, either Bhagavat Swarupamaham, and Bhagavan who is of that nature I bow to. I bow to the Lord who is of that nature, who is absolutely of that nature. Is it okay?
Bhagavan the same as consciousness?
Yeah, when I say Bhagavan the whole, when I say the whole Jagat, the truth of the nature of the whole is what? Absolute nature of the whole is consciousness. When you say I bow to the ocean, actually I bow to the water. Because the wave cannot, the act of bowing is not possible between the wave and the water. Why? Because the wave itself is water. So the isolation is there in the beginning. The wave, having recognized Swarupam and water, then it says I bow to Bhagavan the whole. Oh, I'm not non-separate from Bhagavan. Is it clear? Do I confuse you? I know I'm not. I don't confuse you. But so I had to make sure that you also should feel what I feel. Okay, then Arkavarnaha. Oh, Arkavarna, one who's of the nature of knowledge. Then what is Tamasaha Param? It's a very cheeky word, cheating word, no? And this is what I was telling yesterday. Tamasaha Param. Tamasaha Param means what? That which is beyond. That which is beyond the darkness, ignorance.
Oh, yeah.
When you say beyond the ignorance means what? See, Tamaha first, Pratamaha. Tamasaha Param. What is that which is beyond the ignorance? Okay? Oh, ignorance stands in one place and you have to walk beyond the ignorance to arrive at.
Yeah.
Kitch is beyond the hall. So here, what does it mean? If you go to ignorance and see where ignorance is, ignorance also is a thought, state of mind, which is not outside of consciousness, because ignorance also is object of knowledge. So reduce everything into an object of knowledge. That's all. You find an answer. A secret. Ignorance is an object of knowledge or not? Just tell me that.
Hmm.
Yes. If it is an object of knowledge, what is the subject of knowledge? Subject of that knowledge, of ignorance. Okay? Consciousness. Therefore, what is it which is beyond ignorance is what? Ignorance is not outside of consciousness. You know English. You know you don't know Tamil. Therefore, that means ignorance is object known, knowledge also is known. You know what you know what you don't know. Sometimes you don't know what all you don't know. That's a different thing. But at least you know what you know. You know what you don't know. Okay? Therefore, ignorance is known. Knowledge is known. Ignorance is a state of mind. Okay? Knowledge is a state of mind. Two different states of mind. Two different waves in one water. Like two different states of mind. Two different thought waves in the consciousness, in the ocean of consciousness. Understand what I say?
Yeah.
So what is beyond any wave is just the water. So beyond any thought is what? Whether it's an object, knowledge or ignorance or desire or is what? Nothing but consciousness. So tamasaha param, that which is beyond the ignorance, that which is there as the very existence, the source, the origin of the thought, the ignorance. Ignorance also exists. Why does it exist? Not outside of consciousness, which is of the nature of knowing, knowledge. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm. Therefore, tamasaha param. How do you say it is beyond the beyond ignorance? How do you say it is the existing source of ignorance? Because it is arkavarnaha. It is of the nature of knowledge. Therefore, it is self-revealing, self-evident, self-existent. Okay? Source of knowledge. Okay. Then, purnaha. Purnam. Pratarnamami. Pratarnamami. Tamasah paramarkavarnam. Tamasah paramarkavarnam. Purnam sanatana padam. Purnam sanatana padam. Purushottamakyam. Purushottamakyam. Yasminidam. Yasminidam jagadaseshamaseshamurto.
Jagadaseshamaseshamurto.
Rajjambhujangamaiva. Rajjambhujangamaiva. Pratibhasitam vai. Pratibhasitam vai. Okay. Prataha tamasaha parnam. Param, arkavarnam, purnam, sanatanapadam, purushottamakhyam, okay, bhagavantam, namami, okay. Then purnam, another word, no, purnaha, bhagavan is purnaha. I tell you, I can give the whole meaning of explaining the Purnamada, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnamudachyate, Purnasya, Purnamadaya, Purnameva, Vasishyate, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. I can explain the whole meaning. My God, it will take another 2 hours. I can just say Purnaha. That which is the whole, that which is the nature of limitlessness, which is complete, purna, that which... See, pura iti sarvam iti purnam. Sarvam, na sarvam pura iti, that which fills everything, is purnaha. That which fills everything is what? That which pervades everything. That which pervades everything, that which fills everything means that which is... That which alone is manifest as everything. Is purnaha. Why? That is the cause of everything. What is it which pervades, which fills everything? The whole jagat is effect. And the effect is filled by what? Filled with what? The cause. Pervaded by what? The cause. So this Brahma was to being the cause of everything. It pervades everything, it fills everything. There is no place where it is not. So, purnaha. Cause is purnam. Okay, the whole. The fullness. And effect is what? The manifestation of the cause is what? Again the fullness. Because this alone is manifest as that. Purnaha. As the very cause. Because, you know, it is tamasaha param and it is of the nature of knowledge. It pervades everything, lending existence to everything. Okay? Because the whole Prakritam Jagat, the whole entire universe, we say Jadam. Jagat is Jadam. Prapanchaha Jadaha. What Jadaha Prapanchaha? What do you mean the word Jadaha? I told you once in my Upanishad class. Inert, the universe is inert.
Yeah.
Isn't the universe is inert? What about the physical body? Your own body is Jadaha. Why Jadaha? There is no knowledge that I am, okay? The body has, I am the body. Just No, I am the body, this knowledge is not there, I am the part of the body. No leaf says I am a leaf. No flower says I am a flower. No petal says I am a petal. No monkey, no other animal says I am this animal. I am monkey, donkey, etc. No object says I am this. There is no self-consciousness. Okay? Therefore there is no knowledge of itself. Therefore it doesn't have the capacity to know anything other than it of itself also. That is jadaha. Jadaha prapanchaha. Your nails are jadam. Your finger, the whole body is jadam. Your heart is jadam. Everything is jadam. The whole jagat is jadaha, jadam, inert. And this jadam jagat, it does not know its own existence. Understand? Therefore, it cannot know the existence of anything other than the jagat also. But this still jagat has a status of being existent. How? As an object of knowledge. Understand? This jagat has the status of existent, being an existent, because it is known. It is known, therefore it is not outside of knowledge. Jnatam jagat. Understand? Antakarana vritti jnanat param nasti. It is not outside or beyond the knowledge. See, no object of knowledge is beyond the knowledge. Understand? So, known similarly, and knowledge is not outside of consciousness. Where does the whole jagat exist? Jagat exists in knowledge, knowledge exists in consciousness, therefore whole jagat exists in consciousness. Therefore, understand what I say? Therefore, consciousness pervades. Sarvam pureti purnamasti. That which remains filling, pervading everything, penetrating. Okay, everything. The chicken thing is what? The vastu. Okay, understood purna? It's very, very important to know everything has produced to an object of knowledge, and knowledge, and say knowledge is not object of consciousness. We have to be very clear, knowledge of anything is in the form of thought. Okay? Yeah. And the knowledge, the thought is not outside of consciousness. Knowledge itself is object of knowledge. Is it clear, Anne?
Knowledge itself is an object of knowledge.
No.
You just said.
See, that's why I'm just telling you about the antakarna vritti jnanam.
Yeah.
See, we use the word to swarupa jnanam, vritti jnanam, I said. You don't mistake the vritti jnanam for swarupa jnanam.
Okay.
See,
yeah.
Consciousness is not the knowledge. Consciousness is of the nature of knowing, as said.
Yeah.
Therefore, it is indicated by the word knowledge.
Yeah.
So, knowledge of the knowledge is consciousness.
Yeah.
Knowledge, because of which the thought knowledge is possible, is consciousness. Okay? So here Purnam means what? That which is Pureti Sarvamiti Purnam. That which fills everything is Purnam. So Bhagavan is Purnaha when you say. Why Purnam? It pervades everything. How does it pervade? Because it's the very cause, as the very cause. How does its cause? Because it lends existence. How does it lend existence? How does it lend existence? Because it knows everything. How does it know? The nature is knowing. Does it do anything to know? No. Sannidhi Matrena, just by being present, it knows everything. Okay, so Purnaha, is it clear now, man?
Yeah.
Purnaha, I want to understand the word, meaning of the word Purnaha this way. Then Sanatana Padam, Sanatana Padam, Padaha, okay. See, Sanatanam actually Sadatana. Sanatana Padam means what? That which is there eternally. that which has been there always. See, sada means always. You add tana, that which is connected to the time, that which is linked to always, so eternal. See, adya means today, hyaha yesterday, shwaha tomorrow. We say adya tana, anything connected to, pertaining to today's word. Adya, what is today's program? Adya bhanuvasaraha. Adyatana karyakramaha kaha. We say, today is Sunday, what is today's program? Adyatana means today's. Any program connected to, pertaining to today, this day is what? Adyatana. Like sada means always. Sada tana, this tana added, means pertaining to that day. So sadatana is what? Sanatana. So that which is connected to all times is what? Eternal. Sadatana is come as sanatana. Okay, which means eternal.
Is that through santi?
Hmm?
Does it become that through santi? Sadatana becomes sanatana.
Sadatana has become, it becomes, not santi. Yes, it's used. Sadatana is used, is said to be kanatana. So sadatana, that which is connected to all times, means that which is there always. Beginninglessly, endlessly, unchangingly, changelessly, that which is there always is sadatana. Padam. Padam means that which is to be understood as the eternal. Ultimately is what? Sadatana padam. That which is there eternal, that which is eternal. That which is free from time imitation. A simple thing. Then Purushottam Akhyam. See Purushottamaha Akhyaha. See Purushanam Uttamaha. Purushesh Uttamaha. The exalted of all the men, all the persons, all the beings, in fact, not only men, Ajay. Purushesh Uttamaha, Purushanam Uttamaha. The exalted of all the beings is that. Because that is, that alone is manifest as all the Purushas. All the Purushas are none other than that. Uttamaha. The foremost of all the beings, the exalt of all the beings. Okay, Uttama simply says good person, what is good and bad? What is good and bad? Okay, Tarangesh Uttama Tarangottamaha. Tarangottamam Jalam. Tarangottamam Tarangha wave. Taranganam Uttamam. Tarangesh Uttamam. Taranga Uttamam. Compound. Tarangottamam Jalam. Like the Purushottamaha Bhagavan. No? Purusheshu, we can say the exalt of all, the most exalted of all the men, or all the beings, all the personalities, the person of all the personalities. Without the person, where is the personality? And the person, the exalted person of all the personalities, the exalted of all the men, of all the beings, the foremost cause of all the beings, okay, Purushottamaha. So he is Akhya, known. Now, Akhya means known. The one who is known by the word Purushottamaha. Known as Purushottamaha, known by the word Purushottamaha. One who is eternal, and one who fills everything as the very cause, and one who is, one who is self-effulgent like the sun, and one who is the very, one who is beyond the ignorance. Him I bow to. Is it okay? Then, what is that? Yasmin idam jagadaseshamaseshamuto. So that reality. There's the two words, asesha murtihi and asesham jagat. Look at this.
Yeah.
Sesha means remaining. Okay. Asesha means without remaining. Without remains means what? Complete. Asesha should be understood as complete, total, full. Okay? Sesha means remaining. It means something left behind. It means what? Something remaining means what? It's not full. It's not complete. It's not total. So asesha means the total, complete, full. So asesham jagat, the entire universe. Asesha should be understood clear for the entire, the entirety. Okay, asesham jagat, this entire universe. Okay. Asesha murtav, yasmin asesha murtav, in which complete being. Asesha murti means what? Complete being. Murtihi. Murti literally means form. Asesha murtihi, what is it which asesha murtihi? The total being, the complete being. Idam asesham jagat. Okay, the whole, this entire universe is in the total person, the complete person. Okay, which is consciousness. In which total being, the consciousness, this entire jagat exists. Is it clear? How does it exist? Rajvam bhujangamaha iva pratibhasitam vai. See, rajvam means rajau.
Rajuhu
means rope. Rajuhu means rope. And rajvam means rajau. Bhujangamaha means snake. Why would the snake has not the very funny the word snake in house language? We have many words to mean snake, and every word is a beautiful word. No? There is a reason why a snake is called no uragaha, sarpaha, sarpati iti sarpaha, urasa gachiti iti uragaha, bhujena gachiti iti bhujangaha. Bhujaha means shoulder. No? Well, what is it? For a snake, what is shoulder? Why is a shoulder? No, shoulder. Uras is chest. Now, urasa gachati iti uragaha. Bujayana gachati iti bujangaha. Sarpati iti sarpaha. Too many words. And similarly, bujanga snake is called bujangaha. Bujangaha, bujangamaha.
So bujangaha is going with the shoulder, on the shoulder?
Yeah. But snake, shoulder, chest, everything is the same, okay? We say, it's very funny, isn't it? But still it's meaningful. It's not funny, but it's still meaningful. It means. See, bhujagaha, bhujangaha, bhujangamaha. Three words are there. Bhujag, bhujena gacchati, okay? Bhujagaha, bhujangaha, bhujangamaha. Snake. Okay. So here, Rajvam Rajau Bhujangamaha Iva. Okay, let's just suppose the appears, no? The snake, we mistake the rope for a snake.
Yeah.
Okay, and but still, rope, without the rope, you can't imagine snake at all. If I were to even to imagine snake, there must be what? Something must be there. So what is that which really lends existence to the, no, even the non-existing snake? Is the rope. So rope must be there, you see. Without the rope, there cannot be snake at all. You cannot perceive snake at all. If a mistake is not possible. Even for you to mistake, there will be something. Nothing is there, still you see the snake, there's a problem, it's a different problem, okay? No, so you see the snake here. you say then now we have to, there's a different problem. But there's something which looks like snake, and if you mistake that for snake, what is which lends existence for the that snake, even this snake perception, which is as though, which is not real, okay? Rajuhu, like that. But even though Rajo Bhujangamaha Pratibhasate, it appears. Mm. But is that snake real there? It is not really there. Is snake is real there? No. See, for the snake to be perceived, the rope must be there. And if we look at it, is the snake real? No. Once you arrive at what the snake is, once you see the rope, the snake disappears in that rope. Similarly, the whole jagat exists in that asesham jagat, this entire jagat exists in this asesham murti, the limitless being. Asesham murti should be understood as limitless being, the limitless, whole, complete being, consciousness. Like the snake appears on the rope, then the same jagat can be resolved in that consciousness. But where is the jagat? Jagat is nothing but consciousness. Okay? Jagat is nothing but consciousness. Jagat has no independent existence. It's mithya. First you understand jagat as mithya. First you see the jagat first. You don't see the consciousness at all. Then you see the consciousness. Then you say, oh, consciousness, satyam jagat is mithya. Then you say, where is the jagat? Jagat is nothing but consciousness. Resolve the jagat in consciousness. Then you say, what is there is only Brahman. Okay? Similarly, that's what he says. This the whole jagat pratibhasate appears to be as though in which consciousness, complete beings, entire jagat appears to be real, appears to be as though in which consciousness, in complete being, I bow to the Bhagavan who is of that nature. Is it clear?
Pratibhasa means revealed.
Appears.
Yes.
Appears. See that very interesting thing. One thing it reveals is, see, without the Rajjuhu, snake cannot be perceived at all. Even for you to perceive the snake, there must be rope. So there is the truth of, so the similarly consciousness, without the consciousness, the jagat cannot be known at all. Okay? The jagat exists in consciousness. And thereafter, you say, oh, once you know exactly what consciousness is, how it is not there at all, then you can say just, oh, when you, in the wake of the knowledge of the rope being rope, the snake, with it being driven away, it disappears in rope. Understand, isn't it? Similarly, the whole jagat you resolve in consciousness. There's no real jagat. Resolving this jagat as mithya in the wake of the knowledge of consciousness is resolving the jagat in consciousness. Resolving it as mithya. And you say, what is the mithya? Oh, where is it? It's just nothing but that. It is that. First you say wave is in the water. You say wave is water. Oh, where is the wave? What is this? Only water. The wave is as though. You say as though. Jagat is as though. There's no real jagat when you say as though. Understanding the entire jagat as though, by understanding the truth of the jagat. see, the whole Jagat appears as though in which complete being consciousness I made it upon. I made it upon the consciousness.
What was the misunderstanding which Swamiji referred to? He said there are a lot of
Actually, what happened? A misunderstanding is people say, once I look at the rope, okay, the snake is not there at all. That means what? Then the Jagat should not be mistaken for unreal. The snake is. Jagat being mistaken for unreal is wrong, he says. Jagat should be understood as neither real nor unreal, but mithya. See, the mithyatvam of Jagat is not understood. Jagat is mistaken for tucham.
Yeah,
non-existent thing. That is not right.
Yeah.
The example, this, because it is used, but the snake and rope example are used here. Yeah. Is used here. But be very careful. People, because that's why I'm saying, be very clear. Be very, very careful when they unfold. And that's why I'm repeating too many times. I know you understood very well. Mm-hmm. I know you must be feeling bored with my repetition. We can go on and on and on and on. Okay. There's no limit for this. This 3 hours I can do for another 3 more days. It's not a problem. I just need if you give me some chalk piece and board, I'll write to you every word, Anand Vigraha Vakyam, and those things and all that. And I can go on and on. It's not a different thing. But we'll do it in a special class hereafter. What I'm saying, have you understood this now?
Mm-hmm.
In the last verse, see, other 2 verses, I met it upon the Vastu, Brahman, the Atma, Brahman as Atma, which is of the nature of the words. And here, I bow to the word is used. So I say, I bow to the Lord, the whole, which is of the nature of this. Is it clear now? So in contemplation, one thing, that's what the difference between contemplation and meditation. So in contemplation actually, the object of thought is nothing, none other than the very truth of the thought. Object of thinking, object of dwelling, object of meditation is none other than the very truth of the mind. It's contemplation. That's why it is contemplation. It's not a contemplation. We are not thinking of anything which is an object of an external object to the mind. Here, suppose whatever you have discussed now, what you've been discussing, it is the very truth of the mind, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It is not an object external to the mind, which is distinguishable, which is differentiatable.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if we can differentiate the meditated object from the meditating mind, then it is meditation. If we cannot differentiate which is the very source of the mind, then is what? There is no difference between the meditated object and the meditating mind, that is contemplation. Is it clear? That's why proper Svandam. Yeah. Shall we say this again? Once? Is it time for you? Is it time for you now?
Time for me.
Is it time for you?
Yeah.
But you should try to actually every day make it a point to chant for some time, the mornings. Is it for meditation?
Pratasmarami hridi samspuradatma tattvam Sachit Sukham Paramahamsa Gatim Turiyam Yet svapna jagara sushupti maviti nityam tad brahma nishkalamaham najabhuta sangha pratar bhajami manasam vachasam agamyam vacho vibhanti nikhilayadanugrahena yanneti neti vachane nigamavachan tam deva deva majamachyuta mahuragyam.
Hello? Should I press anything in here?
You can press the middle one, pick one.
No, disconnect it.
No, don't worry. It's probably taking a message.
Pratarbhajami manasam vachasamagamyam vacho vibhanti nikhilayadanugrahena yanneti neti vachaneir nigamavachan tam deva deva majamachyutamahuragryam pratarnamami tamasah paramarkavarnam purnam sanatanapadam purushottamakhyam yasminidam jagadaseshamaseshamutau rajjambhujangamaiva pratibhasitam vai.
I got it completely.
Shlokatrayamidam punyam lokatraya vibhushanam pratakale patetyasto sagachet paramum padam.
The Parashruti. Always we have to now give something. What is the phalam? What do you get out of it? What do you get then? Because all the stotras, everywhere, Adi Shankaracharya, in all his works, not only Adi Shankaracharya, even in Veda mantras, we have something called Palashrutihi. Palashruti means there's a verse which talks about what you gain as a result of reading something or knowing something. Then become very interested. Palashruti is shown. Now we always see buy one, two, get two. Then immediately we jump in now, something like that. Because they know the weakness of the mind. Similarly, Shastram also knows the trick of how to make you learn. It tells the truth, but Shastram tells the truth, okay? It doesn't lie. It says, come on, if you know this, you will get it. So the... See, the Shlokatrayam, Punyam Shlokatrayam, no, the very... Why Punyam Shlokatrayam? Because reading this verse, understanding one must have Punyam really. Okay, auspicious. So auspicious, these auspicious verses which talk about the Surupma Bhagavan, Surupma Brahman, and knowing which, no, knowing it, which will result in the absolute, gaining absolute end, Shlokatri, auspicious verses. And which talk about the vastu, which is the embellishment of the whole universe. Ornament of the whole universe, we speak, without which the world has no meaning. Vibhushanam and Pratakale Yaha Pated. One who reads these worthy verses in the morning, not simply reading, but understands and dwells upon the meaning of these words, these three verses, Saha Paramam Padam Gachet. He attains the absolute end, okay? Exalted abode, which is mokshaha. Shastra promises. If we dwell upon, that's what I'm saying. Really speaking, we had 2 minutes. If you really understand something properly and be with it, be with it, be with it, we'll get it. Because we are not able to be with that, so we Shastram presents lots of textbooks, and in which the textbooks are different, the sutra verses are different, mantras are different, subject matter is the same. It helps you to be with it all the time. It caters to our psychological need that we want change, we want different one. Oh, Pathasma, every day Pathasma was a boring thing, so let me do some Thomas sutra. Subject matter is the same, the verses are different. Like we change our menu recipe.
Yeah.
Though what we eat is the wheat, but still we eat in different forms. So what we need to dwell upon is Brahman, or Swarupam. Doesn't matter whichever, whatever is the text. As long as we have some text, and with the help of which we can dwell upon the Swarupam of Brahman.